This weekend, we've been enjoying a fellowship for the sisters here in the Midwest area. And we've been going over the matter of the increase of Christ for God's building. But since many of the brothers were not here, or most all the brothers were not here this weekend, we'd like to make sure you all have an outline. If there's any children here this morning, you can be dismissed here at this time before we begin. Okay, let's read two verses to start. John 3:29-30.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Amen. I've been making mistakes. When all the sisters were here, I say brothers and sisters. But this morning, brothers and sisters. Amen. Hallelujah for the sisters' conference. We cover the topic that we enjoy from Memorial Day Conference. And the topic was and is the increase of Christ for the building up of the body. Praise the Lord. The increase of Christ for the building up of the body. Which means we need to have an increase of Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we need to have Christ increase in us. Amen. We don't just hear these messages coming out of one ear, going out of the other ear, and we say, we know it, we know it, we know it. No, we need to practice it. Amen. We need that Christ increase in us. Amen. So that He can build up His body. That's God's heart's desire. Amen. Without that, God cannot be satisfied. What are we here for? We're here for God's eternal purpose. Amen. For that eternal purpose to be accomplished, for God's heart to be satisfied, dear saints, we need Christ. Amen. To increase in us. Amen? Amen? Okay. This morning, we have two parts. The first part, I will cover the personal side of the increase of Christ for the building up of the body. And Brother Marty will cover the corporate side of the building up of the body of Christ. Amen? And he will then draw the conclusion for this whole conference. Brothers and sisters, I pray for me and for you all that we will have a change in our life. Amen. Hopefully after this conference, when all the dear sisters go back, there will be a change in their daily life and in their church life. And I'm going to cover the personal side, and I'm going to cover the daily life. There was a hymn that Brother Minoru called when he spoke this message. That's hymn 395. Oh, Jesus Christ, grow thou in me. Andrew, you know, right? Amen. So, we need Christ to grow in us. And in this hymn, he pointed out there's five times a talk about daily, 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 daily. Amen. Christ must increase in us. Amen. In a daily way. Sometimes I talk with the college students and some new ones, some young brothers. I said, do you pray? Oh, sure, I pray. I said, when? I pray in the meeting. I said, do you read the Bible? Oh, of course I read the Bible. When? In the meeting. There's nothing wrong of praying in the meeting, of reading the Bible in the meeting. But if we want to have Christ grow in us, we must have a very close relationship with the Lord. Right? You walk down the street, say, Lord Jesus, I love you. Right? Praise the Lord. The Lord is so real to us. Don't wait until you come to the meeting. The meeting is for the exhibition, for the display, for the outflow of all the riches that we have enjoyed. Are you okay with what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Before we get into the outlines, I'd like to follow Brother Minor's example. Gave an opening word. He said, this time, the conference is to give us a balanced view of the increase of the church. We all want to have an increase of the church. If you were in the denomination, you want to have an increase of the denominational church, right? But there is a big difference. What kind of increase are we talking about? Are we talking about an increase of a crowd? Increase of churchgoers? Or are we talking about the increase of Christ? Grow, right? Grow with the growth of God. And we grow into the head. That's the kind of increase that God wants. Amen. In Matthew, we are familiar with that verse. Matthew 28, verse 19. Where the Lord, before he departed, he charged his disciples to do one thing. He said, go to do what? Disciples, all the nations, baptizing them, right? Into the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have taught you. Lo, I'm with you all the days. So with that word, many missionaries have gone all over the world. And we thank the Lord, some missionary came to various parts of the world and went to China. I still like to talk about Hudson Taylor. He's the founder of China in the Mission. So when he went back to London to recruit missionaries for his China in the Mission, and he only said these things, I'm not asking you to go. To seek the Lord, whether to go or not to go. He said, a matter of going has been resolved 1900 years ago. Right? The Lord told the disciples to do what? To stay home. To go. Now, there's a one kind of going, and there's another kind of going. Right? Yesterday, I think we talked about in John chapter 15. I am the true vine, you are the branches. You did not choose me. I chose you and I set you that you should, what? And bear fruit. That kind of going forth, and we talked about, it's slightly different from just going out to drum up the beat, to say, preach the gospel, preach the gospel, preach the gospel. Who cares? Just that they receive the gospel, then that's good enough. Bring them to the church to be a churchgoers. No, we want to bring them back in. We want to shepherd them. God ordained way church life. You still remember that? What is that for? That's for the building up of the body of Christ. And Brother Marty will spend a lot of time on that. But I want to talk about a personal side. Brother Minoru shared with us, there's another side. Matthew 28, 19 is the external side, which doesn't mean that's wrong. No, it's absolutely right. That's the Lord's word. But in this matter of the increase of the church, there is a more important side. That's the intrinsic view of the increase of Christ for the increase of the church. Are you with me? Yes. Stand with me. Amen. Oh Lord Jesus, amen. We want to go forth, amen, for the increase of Christ, amen, for the building up of the body. Amen. Okay. He said, the more important side is that we have the increase of Christ in each and every one of us. Right? In the denominational church, if you got a good pastor, eloquent pastor, and the church will have some future. But in the Lord's recovery for the body of Christ, for the increase of the body of Christ, increase of Christ in the body of Christ, each and every one of us, we need to have an increase of Christ in us. Amen. You remember this, is that Ephesians or Philippians? He said, be wise, because the days of evil redeem the time. Right? What do we need to do? He says, we need to not be drunk with wine, but filled with the Spirit. We are not talking about the Pentecostal concept of the Spirit. Pentecostal concept of the Spirit is I may have a power, or I may have ecstasy feeling. No. The Spirit in the Bible, the Spirit is Christ. To be filled with Spirit means Christ is saturated in you. And Christ is increasing in you. And this matter is a daily matter. Amen? Amen. Don't waste our time. Every day we need to treasure the time. Lord Jesus, grow in me. Amen. Like that hymn say, Lord, grow thou in me today. Not until when I finish my school. Not until I get married. Not until I establish my business. No. Now is the day that we need to grow in Christ. And I need to. I'm not too good at this, huh? Brother Minoru, it's hard to repeat, Brother Minoru, huh? He talked about, don't have this mistaken concept. Wow, such and such church. They have, you know how many they have? They have 4,000 people. And look at us. Well, 4,000 people. It all depends how much of the increase of Christ you have. And I want to share this point, and I talked about it yesterday. You know, in Genesis chapter 2, Adam and Eve We talk about that in your wedding, huh? Adam and Eve, they are the wonderful picture of Christ and the church. God made Adam in a certain way, but when he came to make Eve, it's a very unique kind of way. That's the way that Christ is building his church today. What's the way? He took something out of Adam, and with that, and that only, he built a woman. He did not add something else. Brothers and sisters, the church is Christ. The church is Christ. What God wants is Christ and Christ alone. He did not want anything else. Good teachings, good methods, good social service, good single clubs, good divorce clubs. No, God only wants the church. We're not here trying to use all kinds of gimmick to attract people. I was once invited to a Baptist pastor's church somewhere in Ohio because I took care of his son. And he invited me to his home and then went to his service. I'm sorry, service. And I went to his home for lunch. And he was very frank with me. He said, "Simon, you know, in our business, it's a business, right? In our business, we have to attract the young people. If we don't attract the young people, our future is doomed. So you know," he said, "what do I need to do? Because the young people, they don't like this traditional hymn that we sing. You know what they like? They have this term called a contemporary music. Everywhere you go in Christianity, everywhere you go is contemporary music." I'm sorry, I'm a bad man. Sometimes privately I say, "It's a rock music." Huh? And he told me, I have to do that to attract the young crowd. Do we have rock music to attract the young crowd? No? Do we have Christ? That's my question for you. We don't have contemporary music. We don't have a singles club. But do we have Christ? Amen. Brothers, we need the increase of Christ in us. I was fellowshipping with Brother Marty yesterday. There's a strong burden in me. And I, you know, many other brothers, sometimes when I got together with the younger brothers, you know, they're younger than me. I'm an old man, you know. Oh, no, not compared to Brother Bill and Brother Jim. I told them, "You and I, we can speak perfectly on the economy of God." Right? Many brothers, they serve in the Young People Conference, College Conference, and in the regular church conference. They're wonderful, wonderful brothers. Nothing's wrong with their speaking. Absolutely right. And right on the spot, right on the dot, right on the bullseye. But I said, "But you and I need to turn to the Lord. Say, Lord, how much of that is in me? How much? What kind of relationship do I have with you? When I get up in the morning, But Aunt Marks always encouraged us, which is so wonderful. He said, when an alarm clock goes off, don't say, oh, no. But say what? Amen. And when you run to the problem, when somebody offended you, what do you say? Amen. Do we do that daily? All the time? Amen. We need to get more and more into this increase of Christ. I'm sorry, what time should I stop? 20 after. Okay, I have 5 more minutes. Brothers and sisters, if you get this burden, then that will be wonderful. I love a particular hymn, and I like to read one stanza to you. Okay? That's Brother Neith's hymn. That's hymn 280. But you don't need to turn to that. But I will read it to you. And every day, not every day, almost every day, once the Lord touched me with this hymn, he said, oh, may thy cross within me deepen its work and burn. And listen to the next line. In me, Brother Andrew, in me, in you. What? Enlarge your capacity. Enlarge your gift. Enlarge what? Enlarge thy measure. That means in me, increase Christ in me. You're not so impressed, huh? Amen? In me, enlarge thy measure.
Amen.
Can we say it together?
In me, enlarge thy measure.
And me, become glorious spiritual brother. What does that say? Wow, wonderful. And me, to ashes turn. That's what the Lord's recovery is all about. Christ and Christ alone. Christ is all in all. And we are the ashes. Me to ashes turn. Oh, that gets me every time. Why don't they brothers recognize my portion? I'm very good. Ashes, ashes, ashes. Amen. And in the last 4 lines it says, oh, may thy spirit fill me each day more than before. Oh my, that touched me to the uttermost. Can we say, Lord, you are dearer today than yesterday? We have these hymns, right? Yes. Each day, today you are dearer than the day before. Can we say that? Yes. Are we growing? Yes. Is the Lord more precious to us today than yesterday?
Yes.
Let us grow. Let's give ourselves to the Lord. Allow him to enlarge his measure in us. Oh, may thy living water on me and through me pour. Okay, dear saints, let's encourage one another. You encourage me, and I encourage you. We have to grow. Christ must increase, and we must decrease. For what purpose? For the building up of his body. And this is God's eternal purpose. This is God's economy. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can you say, Lord Jesus, I love you.
Lord Jesus, I love your economy.
Sorry, this morning we're a little bit rushed, but I think what Simon mentioned, you know, the overall topic for this weekend has been on the increase of Christ. And yesterday we talked about what is increase, and sometimes we think that increase is only to go get an increase in number of people. But we saw last night that there's other groups who are increasing in the number of people, and that's not necessarily the increase of Christ, right? So we're not against increasing in number of people. That's the other side. We are for the increase in number, right? We should be growing. It should be multiplying, should be increase. In fact, if you read in the book of Acts, it says that the many were added to the Lord, right? Not only the word grew, but the number of the disciples multiplied greatly. So there is the two sides. The increase is not only the increase in number, but the increase also of Christ. Okay, but how does this increase come about? This increase is a balanced matter. It's both intrinsically or essentially. It's in us. There needs to be more of Christ growing in us, wrought in us individually. If there's no increase of Christ, there's no increase in the church. If there's no increase in you individually, there's no increase in the church. But there's also the increase that comes about when we practice to reach out to minister the life that's growing in us, that we would also allow this life to flow not only into us and through us, but also out of us. And so that's the burden of this whole conference, is on the increase. We need the increase of Christ. We need the increase of Christ for a goal. And the title of the whole morning revival or the whole conference was the increase of Christ for the building up of the church. Amen. Right? So we know that God has a goal. His goal is the church. His goal is the building up of the church, the body of Christ. And how does that come about? It comes about very, very practically, very, you could say, even individually, personally. You know, we have a couple, give you a practical example. We have a couple of vans here at the belongs to the church. You know, the big vans, passenger vans. And we usually fellowship about who should own them and who should insure them and who should take care of them. And basically, if we say, well, the church will own them and the church will take care of them, basically what that means is nobody. So we need brothers to take personal responsibility. So we can say, well, the church needs to grow. We all say, amen, right? And the church is the increase of Christ. And we all say, amen. Oh, yes, we all pray, Lord, build your church. And we pray that Christ would increase in the church. We keep talking about the church. We hope the church will become the bride of Christ. The church, someday it will happen. The church. Okay, but when it comes back down to it, basically, what's your personal responsibility? Do you bear some personal responsibility? Do you know if Christ doesn't increase in you personally, he's not going to increase in the church corporately? Okay, you have personal responsibility. Okay, we know that when the Lord returns, he's not necessarily going to ask, how did the church do? He's going to ask, how did you do? Right? How we are going to have to appear before the Lord each of us individually. Right? So we should consider on the personal side. Don't think, oh, the church is growing, the church is increasing. I think Christ is growing. It's really evident. Look at all the Christ and all the saints. That's pretty vague. That's pretty general. How about Christ in you? Right? So Paul said, on one hand, he said, the Lord loved the church, and he gave himself up for her. On the other hand, Paul said, the Lord loved me and gave himself up for me. So each of us personally, individually, we all need to experience and enjoy Christ. And out of that, something will be produced, will be enlarged. And recently, you know, we went through the book of Exodus, actually for the last couple years. And one of the meetings finally dawned on me, what's this book about? And the brothers shared one thing. Do you know, in the innermost part of the Holy of Holies, there's a very key piece of furniture called the Ark. Do you know what the Ark is? The Ark is a type of Christ. The Ark is made of acacia wood overlaid with gold. That means the Ark symbolizes the person of Christ. He's the God-man. He has humanity and he has divinity, right? He's a real acacia wood, and he is the one who has the real gold, right? He's the union of God and man. He's God manifested in the flesh. But out of the enjoyment and experience of this comes this. What is this? This is the tabernacle. Do you know what the tabernacle really is? The tabernacle is just the enlargement of the ark. The increase of the ark is the tabernacle. Do you know it's made of the exact same wood? And the boards are all overlaid with the exact same gold. So you look at this and you look at this and you say, wow, this is the same. This looks the same. It is the same. Okay, so what is the church? This is Christ. This is the church. What is the church? The church is just the enlargement of Christ. It's the increase of Christ. So what is the key? If we don't experience Christ, we will not become the enlargement of Christ. This is the only way this happens. You enjoy the ark. You enjoy coming forward day by day. You can't say, oh, I think all the saints are experiencing Christ, enjoying Christ. Yeah, but how about you? You have personal responsibility. It's upon you. We all have to respond to the Lord's calling. Come forward, right? We need to enjoy him, no doubt, at the showbread table, at the lampstand. Right? Even at the altar, even before we come in to the holy place, need to enjoy him at the incense altar. But eventually we need to come forward and meet with him at the ark and enjoy Christ in many aspects, in many ways. And out of this enjoyment, there's an increase, there's an enlargement, there's a tabernacle. Okay, so this is the burden of this weekend. Is what is the increase of Christ? It comes about when each of us personally enjoy Christ in our daily life. So last night we talked about very simple matter, reading the Bible. Why? It's not so that you can just check it off. I like to check it off. Okay, every day, keep on track, read the Bible. Okay, but what's the goal? It's not so you can just check it off and say, I read the Bible every day. No, it's so that in the process of your reading, you get to enjoy Christ. And you get more of the acacia wood and more gold, more overlaying, more gold, right? And you become more part of the building. So why should we get out of bed in the morning and spend some time with the Lord? It's for this. This is the goal. So you think about what is the real picture in the Old Testament. The children of Israel, you think about. No doubt they were chosen. They were God's chosen people. Right? They were created by God. Then they ended up in Egypt. Right? First they were called by, like Abraham is a called out one. Okay? Called out of idolatry. Out of so many other things. Through the Lord's appearing. And that's all of our experience. We've been chosen. We were predestinated. We were called by God. And then we were created in time. But we all know, even though we were called, we all ended up in Egypt. We were dead in our trespasses and in our sins. We were fallen in the world. We were in bondage in Egypt. And so the Lord came to redeem us. Right? We have the Passover lamb. We have Christ who redeemed us. And then what? We got baptized. Right? We get passed through the Red Sea. Okay? Then what? Then the Lord supplied us. And the Lord is still supplying us. The children of Israel, they had to get up in the morning before the sun came out. It means before their day got going too far, before things got heated up, before all the manna melted. Get up and gather manna quickly in the morning. Gather some manna and then cook it and eat it and enjoy it. All day, Christ would be our portion, our supply. Then what? Then the Lord started to take them on a journey and revealed himself to them on the mountain. So he did all these things, but you can say, why did he do all this? What's the goal? What's the purpose of God? The purpose was eventually they would be a called out, redeemed, chosen people who would become God's building, God's dwelling place. In fact, there's one verse in Exodus is very sweet. He said, let them make a sanctuary for me that I may dwell in their midst. Okay? So the Lord wants to dwell on the earth in a building. You think it's so amazing when you think about it. It's so amazing. Okay? One time we were traveling with a group of college students and we went to Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And we saw a replica of the tabernacle. We saw actual size of the tabernacle. Okay? And we saw all the wood overlaid with gold. And we saw the different parts of the tabernacle, and we saw some dummies dressed up like priests. Okay? Anyway, we saw it there. But I'll tell you something. It's not very big. It's not real big. It's way smaller than this room. Okay? So you think about the God of the universe. What does he want? What does he want? You know, what does he desire? He said, make me a sanctuary. Make me a dwelling place. Okay? That I could dwell there. I want to dwell on earth with man. So, what is the Lord doing in New Testament terms? He has one desire. He desires a building. So the Lord promised in the New Testament, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. This is exactly the reality of the Old Testament type. So you should ask yourself, were you chosen?
Yes.
Were you chosen?
Yes.
Were you called by God?
Yes.
Were you redeemed?
Yes.
Did you get baptized?
Yes.
Are you being supplied?
Yes.
Are you in a journey? Is God revealing himself to you?
Amen.
What for? It's all for one goal.
Amen.
God desires that we would be built up out of our enjoyment and experience of Christ. We would be built up together.
Amen.
As living stones.
Amen.
Being built up not a physical tabernacle, but a spiritual house. Amen. A dwelling place of God in spirit. Amen. This is his desire. This is what he promised. And the brothers shared, this is the greatest prophecy in the whole Bible. Amen. Right? This is why we were created, why we were redeemed, chosen, called. This is why we're being supplied. Amen. This is why we are experiencing Christ. Amen. It's all for this one goal, that we could build up a dwelling place, a sanctuary that the Lord could dwell. It's not so big. We ourselves, we're not so big, small. But if God dwells in the Old Testament, there were big pyramids and there were big things going on in Egypt. God was not interested. He was not there. He wanted to dwell in this little wooden building out in the middle of the desert. You know, it seemed like, why? He just liked to dwell among his people. Okay, so the same thing today. The Lord promised, I will build my church. So how does he do this? He does this when we experience Christ and enjoy him day by day, like Simon said, morning by morning. When you gather manna, when you eat and you're supplied, and when you come forward to enjoy Christ and experience Christ day by day. So the Lord has this is a great, great prophecy in the Bible. He wants to build his church and express himself, dwell among his people, and be represented to deal with his enemy, right? This was the purpose of creation. This is the purpose of our redemption. And how is this real building taking place? Is by the Lord building himself into us, his chosen ones. Who are the real boards? We just went through this in morning revival. We are the boards. We're enjoying Christ as the real humanity. We're enjoying the real divine nature by partaking of him day by day, that we could be overlaid with gold. And then the more this happens, the more the real building takes place. Okay, that's on the one side. How about on the other side? The other side is this work is not finished. We saw this weekend, the book of Acts, it never ended. It's still going on. Right? At that time, they kept getting charges over and over. Continue steadfastly. In the apostles' teaching, in the apostles' fellowship, continue in one accord, continue in prayer. Okay? And what else did they do? They continued to spread and increase and enlarge the Lord's testimony. So, yes, there was a very small little tabernacle on the earth. But eventually, you know, this got enlarged. Eventually became the temple that was much bigger. Okay, but we know that the Lord's, when he was on the earth, he said in John 1:14 that the Bible says the word became flesh and tabernacled among us. He was the real tabernacle. And then in John 2, it says he was the temple of God. And he said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Okay, so the Lord passed through death and resurrection. And in resurrection, what did he do? He enlarged this dwelling place. So today, the real dwelling place of God is all over this earth. And I've had opportunity this last year to go to a few different places, and I saw it. And I see it, and I think many of us have gone to conferences and gone to different places, and you see, wow, this is bigger than I thought. Okay? It's not that the meeting halls are so big, but there's an enlargement of Christ. Amen. Christ is growing. Amen. Christ is spreading. Amen. Christ is growing and spreading in us. Amen. And he's growing and spreading in saints all over this earth.
Amen.
Okay? So there's a continuation. But just like personally, if Christ is going to grow in the church, you have to take some personal accountability, some personal responsibility. In the same way, if the Lord is going to spread and increase and enlarge, he needs our cooperation. This is the way it was in the book of Acts, and this is the way it still is today. Right in the very beginning in the book of Acts, we saw last night the Lord was waiting. He promised he was going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. And he was waiting and willing and eager to pour out his Spirit. But he was waiting. Is there a group of people on this earth who agree with him, who know his promise and agree with him and join with him in prayer that this will would be done? And there was. Wasn't so huge, wasn't so great, but at least there was 120. And what did they do? They gathered together in one accord. And had one goal, one heart, one purpose, one aim. And that was to agree with the Lord to pray for 10 days that the Lord would carry out what he promised to do. And he did it. They prayed. They agreed. And eventually, it says the Spirit was poured out. The room where they were gathered was shaken. And the Spirit was poured upon them, right? And not only did they have the Spirit essentially within them, but they had the Spirit economically upon them. And then what happened? They went out. Like Simon mentioned, the command was already given. When the Lord raised from the dead and ascended, he already told the disciples, go therefore. So they gathered together, they prayed in one accord, and then they were poured upon with the Spirit, and then they went forth and they began to preach the gospel. Of course, in the beginning, it was Peter and the brothers, but eventually this spread, and it starts spreading all over. Spread in Jerusalem, then Judea, Samaria, and the Lord said, "You shall be my witnesses." Okay, so think about it. It wasn't just general or vague. The Lord said, "You shall be my witnesses, living testimonies of me." So this is what the Lord still desires today. How is the church going to increase and spread? Okay, you could say it's going to happen by Christ growing in us individually. But it also is going to happen by our cooperation. If we don't pray, if the 120 didn't come together, we might still be waiting for the Spirit to be poured out. Okay? If we don't cooperate with the Lord might wait, maybe the next generation, maybe in another 100 years, there'll be a group of people who see this, desire this, and pray and cooperate with the Lord. So, just like to share, there's a few ways we can cooperate. This is on outline 6, if you want to look at it. Says Roman numeral 3, "For the building up of the church as the house of God and the body of Christ, we need to disciple all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and to teach them to observe all that the Lord has commanded." So I think we might all be familiar with this. Maybe not, but I think most of us are. There's a very simple way of looking at it. It's called BNPB. Okay? I like these initials. And I think maybe if you've been in the church for a little while, you should be able to pass the test. Nate, do you know what these are? You know what these stand for? Okay. Okay, this is not too hard. This is very easy. First one is begetting. Okay, how is Christ going to increase? How are we going to have an enlargement of the building? The very first step is begetting. Okay, someone asked me, we were comparing notes at our house this weekend. How many children do you have? How many grandchildren do you have? Okay, basically, how does this come about? It's by begetting, right? Reproducing, right? More children, more grandchildren. What the church needs is more children, more grandchildren, right? We need more begetting. How does that happen? At our breakfast table this morning, we're sharing a few testimonies. Simon's wife was telling us, she just so happened to be a roommate to a sister. And one time the saints came to look for her, and the sister wasn't there. So they started preaching the gospel to Sandy. And Sandy got saved. Amen. Right in the dormitory. Anyway, I think it's very interesting, the same way I got saved. Right in the dormitory. So who should we beget? We just beget the people around us. Amen. Like the sisters shared some last night. You can beget, you can sow the seed right in the grocery store. Right? We can sow the seed in our neighborhoods. We can sow in our schools. We can sow in many places. But the goal is that some would be born of God. When people are born of God, there's increase. There's increase of Christ. Not only in you, but in someone else. Then what should we do? We need nourishing. Okay, we need to nourish people. How do we do that? We go, and like we talked about this weekend, we minister life. We don't go put people under the law. We don't go criticize and condemn. We don't go to give them a bunch of rules. We go to cherish them and supply them and help them know Christ and help them get into the Word. So one burden I have this morning is, we might know this, including myself, but we need to practice this more, okay? You should ask yourself, who's responsible? You think the full-timers should do this, right? The elders should do this. The full-timers should do this. And so should the elders do this. But all the saints should do this, right? Who should preach the gospel? In your neighborhood. It's you. You live there. Who's going to preach the gospel to your relatives? Okay. When saints come to my house, I like to show them the pictures of my family. But I'm one of 10 siblings. Or I'm one of 10 children. Okay. And most all of you don't know any of them. Okay. And I don't know yours either. What does that mean? I'm responsible for mine, but you're responsible for yours, right? It means each of us should pray for our own. I've got a couple siblings that are pretty hard, okay? And I don't know why, but recently, Lord touched me. Just pray for, especially I have a brother, a little burden for. He's far from God. Okay, and he's not open. But I'm not God. I don't know how the Lord can do it. But I believe the Lord can do it. Amen. Can work in his environment and sanctify him within and open his heart that the seed could come in, begetting could take place. So how? We have to pray. We have to pray for our relatives. Pray for those around us. Pray for our neighbors, right? My wife takes a walk maybe two or three times a week with the lady right next door and often tries to share a little something with her. Just speak a little something, okay? So we should do that. Our neighbors, you don't know our neighbors because they're our neighbors. I don't know your neighbors. I've been to Barb's house many times, but I don't know any of her neighbors because I don't live there. Okay? We all have our own neighbors, our own relatives, our own circle of people that you work with, or people you go to school with, or those that live in your dormitory, or in your apartment building, right? We have to consider before the Lord, what about the beginning? We should not just know this. I know this. I've shared this many times. I think we all know this. It's not that difficult. Okay, but practicing is another matter. You know, we're all so short of just sowing seed. Just sow the seed. Okay, see what happens. Okay, then nourish means you got to go visit them. Go visit, go have coffee, go sit down in a restaurant. Okay, and sometimes saints think, I don't know how to shepherd anybody. Okay? All I say is, do you know how to read? You know how to read? If you know how to read, and do you have a Bible? That's good enough. Take your Bible, open your Bible, give the person you're reading with, give them a copy, and just start reading. Just read a little bit, not too much, just read a little bit. Maybe read a couple footnotes. And then just start sharing what you enjoy. Surely you'll enjoy something. And you start sharing it. What's going to happen? Nourishing. It just happens. Okay, what mother knows how to nourish her baby when he's first born, the first baby? None. Okay, how do you learn? You just start doing it. Okay, same way. You might think, I don't know the Bible that well. I don't know this. I don't know that. I'm not that qualified. I never went to the training. I'm not that mature. I haven't been saved that long. I don't know. I don't know how to do anything. Okay, you're the perfect one. If you know how to read, just sit down. Even if you don't know how to read, okay, you don't know how to read. Take an audio file with you and just say, let's listen to this together. Isn't this good? And then just talk about it, share about it. Nourishing. It gets nourished. Okay, so we not only need to nourish ourselves, but we should nourish others. Go nourish somebody. Okay, you don't have to be a full-timer. You don't have to be an elder to go visit people. We should all go visit people. Okay, then perfecting. Perfecting takes place in our homes. We had big fellowship about that. We all have a place where we live. We should invite people to our homes, open our homes, have people over. Perfecting means teaching. And it's not that one brother or one sister dominates and teaches, this is my classroom. No, this is a home. It should be very informal, very cherishing, warm place, where all the saints can function and share with each other and nourish and perfect new ones, get into some healthy teaching. It's not a place for gossip, not a place for just socializing, but we should have cherishing, warm cherishing of one another, and then ministering the real food to each other, perfecting through the healthy teaching. And then what? Building. And how does the building take place? It's through prophesying. And this really touches me because sometimes we think the God-ordained way is just these first three. We go get people saved, and then we go visit them and nourish them, and then we bring them to our homes. And that's the God-ordained way, and that's it. That's not it. The fourth step is very important. Eventually, we want the nourished and perfected ones to come and learn how to speak for Christ. And we're all learning. And that's why we shared here this weekend. None of us are perfect. We're not looking for perfect testimonies or prophecies. We want to encourage one another to just all share something of Christ. Amen. From the Word, right? From the truth that impresses you, that will build up the body of Christ. So anyway, I'm going to stop so that we can have some more prophesying. But hopefully, We have some infusing this weekend to see what is the increase of Christ. Increased essentially by growth in life in us, and increased by our practicing of reaching out, ministering life to others. Okay, so since this is a sisters' conference, we like to give the sisters the final opportunity this morning. So we ask the brothers to please hold back. Let the sisters share. Okay, and sisters, if you've been here all weekend and you haven't shared, don't you want to come minister a little Christ to us? Right? Take some personal responsibility. Minister Christ to one another. Okay, so if you have not shared yet, please come forward.